Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Y'all tell the people this, huh? Uh-huh.
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, our parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
I'll tell the people that, huh?
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, everyone. Hallelujah. So good to see all of you here tonight. And just welcome to God in the Midst, Get'em Radio. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your word that says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. Thank you, Lord, for being in the midst tonight, Lord, moving by your spirit, going into each and every one, coming into each and every one of our homes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Just setting things in order and in place, Spirit. Whatever is wrong, we thank you, Lord, for making it right. And whatever is right, we thank you for taking it, setting it apart, dedicating it for your use and for your glory. In Jesus' name, Lord, touch this broadcast tonight as you're touching all of us, and then give a special touch to our speakers tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Word all of our mouths by your Spirit so that we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have been with us this month, you know that we have been talking about cars, car maintenance, service, and repair. and we've been with our speaker, Larry Wilson, and he has helped us. First, he gave us his testimony, and then he's been talking about cars. So we have one. This is our last night with him. Hallelujah. It's been such a blessing. And so we're going to ask him more about different things with cars. And we really have some interesting things to ask him tonight because things are going on in St. Louis with catalytic converters. So we want to talk about that. But first, we'll go back a little bit. We have some other questions. Now, before I open up the line for Brother Larry, I want you to know that after we finish with him tonight, we have another speaker with us tonight. His name is Pastor Eric Ross, and he's part of an organization that is putting together something called Wake Up St. Louis. It's an event in St. Louis that's going to be. To him a little bit about that event that's coming up after. But first, we got to spend time with Brother Larry Wilson and find out some things about our cars. So I hope you all have questions for him tonight. I have some burning questions myself, and so we're going to open a line for him right now. Amen. Welcome, Brother Larry. Good to see you again. Okay, I can barely hear you. I'll turn up my phone and make sure that's not me. You doing all right, Brother Larry?
Hello?
Okay. Are you having a problem hearing me?
I am.
Oh. Okay. Well, we plead the blood of Jesus over every technical area. Say that again.
I said I can hear you now.
Oh, good. Good. Can hear you now, too. Amen.
Okay.
So how you doing, Brother Larry?
I'm doing fine, yourself?
Doing good. Doing good, even though it got a little hot in St. Louis again today, huh?
Yes, man. Got a little warm.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Heading for 100 again. But, we were okay. Amen. So, I wanted to start tonight with going back to, we were talking about oil changes. And,
yes, ma'am.
You know, the difference between oil changes, full synthetic, and kind. It's just a
synthetic
regular
blend.
Synthetic.
You consider
blend.
That a, yes.
So now, what's the difference between those two?
I think the biggest difference is, I guess, more slicker range.
Word better. So are you on a speakerphone or
I am.
Are you in a different place? But you were on a speakerphone before, weren't you?
Correct. Maybe I just upstairs. I thought I'd get a better reception upstairs.
No, wherever you were before, you got real good reception before.
Okay. Well, I'm moving that away now. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry you have to come downstairs. So hopefully we can hear you better. We need to hear this. And,
okay,
we're
so
not
you
gonna
hear
keep
that better?
Tonight. Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah, oh, much
so yes,
better.
Please. Okay.
Okay, so say that again between
okay, so the
full synthetic and, okay, go ahead.
Okay, the difference between synthetic blend and full synthetic, basically the full synthetic has more chemicals, has a longer range time. So full synthetic can go up to 6,000 miles, whereas synthetic blend only goes up to 3,000 miles.
Oh, okay. All right. I did not know that. And you gave such a good explanation the last time. Thank you so much. That helped me.
About how
your oil change is like, you know, it's like a laundry detergent or something and cleaning it.
Correct.
Yeah. So that was beautiful. If anybody missed that, Google Get 'Em Radio and car. If you Google Get 'Em Radio and car, you should be able to get it. Now, you know, I remember years ago where it seemed like tune-up was the thing to do. You know, you got a tune-up. I don't hear very many people talking about getting a tune-up. So what's up with that now?
Well, I think cars are designed for long distance in between our tune-ups. Basically, a tune-up lasts about 100,000 miles, where before it used to be every 20, 30,000 miles. Used to have, you know, have points. Now you have spark plugs and coil packs, which makes it fire better, fire faster. So the tune-up actually should last most of the newer cars for 100,000 miles.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. I did not know that. So that's good news to me, too. You know what, this was not even in my mind till just now. I was thinking about, you know, there's California is doing a new thing where they're changing and saying that by, I think it's 2035, all gas cars must be off the road. Did you hear that?
Yeah. I did hear something like that, I think, or something where they won't be able to purchase any kind of gas vehicle in California. And, yeah, that is something to that effect. That is something that's really earth-shattering right there for me. The ability to not have a gas cars, combustible engines, I think, is major deal for the state of California.
Yeah. Now, if that does happen, and sometimes things like that happen in one place, and then they spread all over the place. So, in terms of the kind of service that you provide, you would be providing different kind of service, right?
That is true. We would have to transition to more maintenance of electric cars. More diagnostics of electric vehicles, which would mean okay, you know, as we would transition. I don't, like you say, even if the California would change over in 35, still a good 12, 13 years, you know, for California. And I'm sure countries behind that would be, you know, probably, you know, 15 to 20 years after that, I would think. I could be wrong. But it would be a transition from gas to electric. I think a lot of ways it probably would help us out a lot.
So you know, I'm kind of waiting on that Jetson car to come. You know,
I know.
Remember the Jetson?
I know. Yeah, they are. You know. You can just imagine what the cell phone was doing 10 years ago and now what it's doing now. So that definitely can, you never know what could happen in a short few years.
Yeah, well, I have a cell phone story that I just recall that as you said that. I can remember back in 1992 because I was in California and I was being ordained in California. And so we were walking around on the beach that day, me and my sister, And we saw these people with phones for gorgeous people, a man and a woman walking together. And they had these phones attached to their belt as they walked around on the beach. And so we said, you know what, if we see them again, we're going to ask them, why are you carrying a phone around with you? You know, I mean, in 1992, it was unheard of to have a phone on you. And so, you know, we went to them, we talked to them, and they said they were real estate agents, and they had the phone on them because if any calls came in, they could be able to take those calls right where they were. So, and now look at 2022, everybody, their mama and their baby got cell phones.
Yes, yes.
That was a short amount of time where so much happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So with these electric cars, I got a little stock in one. I'm just saying. I said when I get a chance, I'm going to look at that stock and see what happened to it after they started talking today.
Yeah.
So, this is what I want to talk to you about, too, kind of like stuff in the news and things that are actually going on around my life. Are these catalytic converters being stolen? And that seems to be almost an epidemic around. What do you know about that, and you know how they sell them and all of that?
That is happening not only here but all across the country. You know,
yes.
The a catalytic converter, really how it works is basically it's a big old filter, and it's just the filter materials made out of metallic materials like platinum and palladium. So what happens is an engine produces carbon monoxide, which runs through the exhaust system. And because it runs hot, it attracts to the inside of that catalytic converter. Well, what happens is, you know, the crooks, they understand that what's inside of it is platinum and palladium, and someone will buy it from them for a certain amount of money. You know, some cars, like a Toyota Prius, they might get $600 just for that catalytic converter. You know, just to cut it off your car. So, yes, ma'am, I do have a lot of, that is about, I say about 10% of my business, replacing customer stolen converters.
Okay. Is that a tough job to do to convert, I mean, to put it back on?
Well, it can be. I guess no job is too tough if you have the right equipment. You know, basically, a lot of them we can weld them in, which, you know, there's not a lot of welders, mobile mechanics that can weld anymore. So that's one way. And then other ways, certain new cars, you can't weld them in. You have to bolt them in. You know,
okay.
So that requires a certain skill also.
Okay. Does your team have those kind of skills?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We install most catalytic converters.
Wow. Well, I live in a senior apartment building, and here I have heard of at least several catalytic converters that have been cut off the cars here. And
yes.
I would say it started happening when the staff was cut, and from I think 10 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning, there's not any security guards out.
Oh, yes,
and
that's prime country. Yes.
Yeah, that's when things started to happen, and not only cutting those out, but outright stealing cars.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
the Kia boys. Yes, ma'am.
So, what do you say? What did you say?
I see. You know, they still in those Kias with just breaking off the latch and putting in a key fob. Isn't that something? Put in a was that I remember you, those little memory chips you just slide them in. They actually are taking cars, breaking them off the dash, and getting to the electronics and plugging in like you plug in a memory chip in your computer. They plug it into that car, and it starts right up.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how those new keys are getting stolen.
Yeah, I've heard of a Kia being stolen out of the parking lot as well. And, I mean, you know, we are praying. You know, we are absolutely praying. I mean, flat-out spiritual warfare, praying over this place, you know.
Yes,
ma'am.
Because
the enemy just have it like that. And just come and like in a candy store over here, the blood of Jesus is over there. So, and it's interesting when you talk about it has these components in a catalytic converter. I understand that there's some laws that are being made about them when they steal it. That they go and sell it, like, to a junkyard or to, you know, to somebody like that. But I'm also hearing that they're taking those inner parts and making drugs out of them. Have you heard about that?
Now, I have not heard about that. I have not heard about that. But they get so much money out of the converters, I would think they, you know, turn right around and sell it. You know, even mm-hmm. though they can't sell it to a junkyard, they probably could sell it to someone who would buy a couple of them, then he'd take them to the junkyard as a salvage person. They'll work out a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, now this is what I read about, too, is that they were saying one way to prevent a catalytic converter from being stolen is to have it painted.
Well, that would make it so they couldn't see it as much, but, you know, the paint wouldn't make it any worse, you know, any less valuable. It just make it less obvious.
Oh, okay. Well, I think the reason for the to alert a buyer that this has been stolen.
Uh-huh. Oh, I did hear where they could put a serial number on the catalytic converter. That is true.
Some are saying a serial number, and some are saying the license plate of the car.
Oh, okay.
Have that etched in it so that they could trace it back to the car. So, what kind of cars do you guys replace the catalytic converter on?
I'd say about 95% of the cars on the U.S. market, most Chevys. Pretty much the only ones we don't work on are cars with turbos, turbochargers. Other than that, we pretty much can do them all.
Okay. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll ask the question. What about an Infiniti?
Sure, most Infinities we can. I probably would have to look at it before I give you a whole you know, say that we could do it. But majority we've done, you know, Infinities, Lexus, Mercedes, Range Rover. We've done a lot of different cars, Chevys, Fords. Chrysler's.
Okay. Now, I know when I ask this question, I know you are not going to tell me the exact, so I'm going to phrase the question like this. What's the ballpark of how much it costs?
It depends on the location and where it's at. You know, like if we could use a universal converter, it might be about $400 to $500. If you have to use a direct fit catalytic converter, it can go up to almost $15,000. You know, if it's a big commercial truck, it's almost $4,000. You know, just it's a wide range.
Okay.
You know, and it depends on if they come and steal a converter. is that, that all the problems they cause, you know, sometimes they cut one off, they cut off the O2 oxygen sensor, which is used to monitor the catalytic converter, so and the wiring to it. So then you have to replace the wiring, the O2 sensor, and the catalytic converter.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I think that insurance companies are, you know, if a person has full insurance, have you dealt with anything like that with the insurance company?
I have. Insurance companies, they do get involved when a customer does call. Sometimes, you know, a customer, once they hear what it is, they'll say, well, my deductible is you know, such and much. So that means it was not worth it. I just paid the whole thing and not call my insurance company. But, you know, sometimes, you know, when they're in a wreck, especially, you know, the part of the front end gets damaged, the catalytic converter has to be replaced. So they'll turn that into their insurance company then.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's good information. And God forbid that it happens anymore here, but I know I can refer people to you if they need. Amen. Okay. So let's go to like tires. Just the obvious things that people may have an issue with. Now, do you guys replace tires there?
We do offer that service. We're not really big into it, but we do tire service. You know, I can always order tires. I don't go over 20s. I don't order the big tires. I do basically just cars. I don't really do too many truck tires.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Yes, domesticated cars I do mostly.
Okay. All right. People look at I have like a couple of things here that I want to ask about with tires, windshield wipers, lights. Are there any kind of indicators to let you know that it's time to get your tires changed, your windshields, and your lights?
Okay, so for windshield wipers, when you start streaking, when you use them and they're streaking across the back and forth, it's not really cleaning the windshield, then it's pretty much time for that. Your lights, basically, you really have to get out and look and see if a headlight or taillight needs to be replaced or have it, because we're in Missouri, you have to have an inspection, a safety inspection, so they will check that once a year. So that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing about an inspection. You can make sure all your lights are working in correct order. And as far as tires, you the things you want to look at, you want to have them rotated at least once a year, and that means someone will actually look at them then and tell you how much tread is left. You know, you can use the old penny trick, the head of a penny. It needs to at least be half of his head and face down into the tread. And that's a good tread. Anything lower than that, it's time to start looking to get you a couple pair of tires, at least a pair of tires for the front or the rear. You always want to make sure your tires stay inflated. That's the thing about tires. If they're underinflated, they'll wear out faster. And they'll, you know, your car start waving and wobbling because it can't stay. It doesn't have good traction when it's underinflated.
Okay. Now, in the car I have a Town and Country van, and whenever the seasons change, there's an indicator that comes on in my car that says the tires are low.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, tires need air. Without a doubt, anytime a season change, it gets hot or it gets cold, that indicator comes on. And I go and have the tires checked and air put in it. after I drive a mile, the indicator.
Okay, so you probably have aluminum wheels. You know, aluminum gives a little, you know, as the temperature changes, as it gets hotter, expands, it gets colder, it retracts. Well, you lose a little air that way. So like you say, it changes season, so it's going from cold to hot or hot to cold, and it contracts or expands, giving it space for a little air to come out. And that is a hallmark of aluminum wheels.
Okay. All right. Oh, I just knew the indicator came on. I didn't know anything about aluminum. But that's good to know.
Yes, ma'am.
You know how that could work. Okay.
Yeah, that's
let's just
a little background.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about brakes and
okay.
What kind of red flags do we look at, or what kind of indicators do we look at to know that it may be time for new brakes?
See a couple things. You go a little squealing when you hit the brakes, or when you're driving freely, you hear a little squeaking sound. Or when you're coming off the highway, you hit the brakes, you feel a little pulsation in the steering wheel or in the brake pedal, a little shaking, a little burning smell coming from your wheels. Those are the major things that I would look at. Just a little, the brake pads have a little warning signal at the end of the pad. When it gets low, there's a little squeal sound. That's a little indicator that lets you know it's time for someone to look at your pads.
Okay, so it's first, the first thing that needs to be done is the pad. And if that's not taken care of, then it goes to what?
To the rotors.
Okay, you don't want that to happen.
Right, and then if sometimes, you know, it goes past that point, you know, if you let it go past the rotors, then it's the calipers. And that's the mechanism that makes the pad squeeze onto the rotors. And it's all hydraulic then.
Okay. And by that time, it gets to money, big money.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So as soon as we hear a squeak, go and have it looked at.
You should be going ahead and check it. Right. Normally what you do is whenever you have your oil change, you should say, hey, can you look at my brakes? And you could ask them, and they could give a visual inspection.
Okay.
You know, if someone can look, yes, ma'am, they can look through the wheels and see if it's giving an indication of the brake wear. If it's low or high, then, you know, if it's a little low, then they'll know to pull off the wheels and look at it a little closer. But,
okay.
So that means basically every 3,000 miles, someone's looking at your brakes.
Okay, unless you get full synthetic and it's 6,000.
Correct.
I'm listening to you. I just want you to
know.
You know what? That is good. That is such a good idea. I don't think about doing that. Now, I'm one to get the oil changed, pretty much on schedule. And, it takes a long time for my oil to get changed because I don't go anywhere. So... It's true. I mean, we have a 2016 with 70,000 miles on it.
No, you don't go too far. But even if that's the case, if you do get it, say you get your oil changed maybe twice a year, that's still two times a year that you can, you know, have your brakes looked at.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's good. Amen. Thank you so much. I mean, that to me, this has been very important. You know, it's been very important to me. And I think others on the line, too, have been blessed by this. We're going to get ready to open up the lines and see if you all have any questions, any comments. So we'll open up the lines now. And if you have any questions, go ahead and press your number one key. We're going to open up the line for Pastor Mom first, and Pastor Catherine. And then, you know, we will see what anyone else wants to say. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we open the line for Pastor Ma and Pastor Catherine?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. I'm just open to questions.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I just want you to know I really appreciate you. I know you're a busy man. You've been doing a lot of stuff, and you know this stuff like it's nothing. But for us, I should say for me, this is really good information. Okay.
Good. I'm glad you're here. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's been a blessing. Okay, Pastor Catherine, hope you guys are in a good place. And Pastor Ma, I'm just going to open the line for you. Pastor Mom?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Pastor Mom. Hello.
Hello.
We want to hear your voice.
Well, hear my voice is now.
Amen.
So I hope you all have a good place tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen. Pastor Catherine?
Well, thank you so much, Brother Larry. I have a couple of questions here. Now, when you say a full synthetic, are there certain cars that can take full synthetic, or any car can take full synthetic?
Any car can take full synthetic, but once you switch to full synthetic, you probably want to stay with it. But if you really change your oil on a regular schedule, like you should, most cars don't need that.
Oh, okay. I mean, should you ask for that now, or should you just
No, ma'am. They'll tell you about based off what kind of car you have.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. All right. The other question I have is, my sister was kind of alluding to me tonight. I have a 2018 Infiniti.
Mm-hmm.
And they took my catalytic converter off my car, but I had gone to a place down the street from me, which is like a Midas. But they told me that I had to take it back. He looked it up on the computer and said I had to take it back to the dealer.
Sometimes that is happening. Sometimes it has happened. You know, like we all we have to look at it. What kind of car is it? What kind of Infiniti is it?
A Q60.
A Q60. That's a big truck, isn't it?
I guess it's like
is that a truck?
It's an SUV.
SUV? Yes, ma'am. I probably would have to look at it, but I don't know why I couldn't. You know, you always have to look at it before you can say what you can do and can't do.
Well, the guy just looked it up on the computer and said that no, he wouldn't be able to do
it. I wouldn't do it like that. I would look at the vehicle.
Oh,
I would have my mechanic look at it and see what he can tell me.
Okay. All right, then. And then the last question that I have is when you talked about the measuring the air in your tire with a penny.
Yes, ma'am. Not the air, but the tread.
The tread, yeah. So now how did you say you do the penny? Are you sticking it up in the
tread? Take the penny, hold it upside down with the head towards that putting down, and put it into the tread of the tire. If you can see past his chin, the tread is good. If it's below his chin, it's no good.
Oh. Okay, that's good to know. So you won't think, because sometimes they tell, I won't say they just tell women, but they tell anybody that don't know anything about a car, you need new tires. So that's good.
Yes,
to know.
Ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Even if they do tell you if you need tires, they should be able to show you what's wrong with the tire.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
They should be able to point out what's wrong with the tire.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. You've been so helpful tonight. well, all of this.
Yes,
love. Thank you so
yes,
much.
Ma'am.
And thank you for coming here. Thank you so much. And thank you, Apostle, for having him on tonight. I mean, this month. So God bless
Amen.
You. May God, yeah, may God continue to prosper your business. See?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Yes. Yes, that's good. Okay. Anyone else? Did you want to ask any questions? You have any comments? Any words of encouragement? Press your number one key. Okay, I'm checking my text to see if anyone's saying anything here. Okay. All right, Minister Rachel, opening up your line. Welcome,
I'd just like to say hi to Nellie. Oh, hi. It's just me. The kids are in their room. In the room.
Okay.
This is like a faith walk with me because, like I said, I wanted a Range Rover. So
yeah.
So it would be good to get. Let me see. And it would only have like less than 7,000 miles on. How much would, like, if God forbid, if that happened to me, if I was living in the St. Louis area, I wouldn't want that to happen to no one. But if I needed one for my Range Rover, that would be the one that would, it would cost about an estimate of 600 or more.
Well, I would say on the Range Rover, I would say a lot more.
Ah. Okay.
Yes,
that would be my savings. Oh, God.
I think anything on that Range Rover is going to be a little bit higher than normal.
Ah, okay. Especially if it's a 2021.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I would even go out for the best. So I ain't going to put them in a box. So I said I want either this year one or 2021.
All right.
If you allow me to drive again. That's all. But God bless you for sharing information because we all need it. And God bless you, Grandma, for having him.
Amen. Well,
and have a blessed
you.
Night.
Thank you. Okay,
thank
you.
You
too. Thank you for coming. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Well, you guys you're still here and you still listen, so that's good. Okay. All right. So we're going to go ahead and let you make any kind of closing comments that you'd like to make, Brother Larry. Tell people again where your monarchy is located in St. Louis, you know, how they can get in touch with you at your business. And I don't know if you have any Facebook presence or social media presence or anything like that. You can let us know about that. And then any closing remarks that you'd like to make.
Okay. We are downtown St. Louis, 728 South 4th Street. Our telephone number is 314-877-3920. Social media and stuff, I don't know if I am or not. My daughters have to tell you about that or not.
Okay.
And this has been a very, very enjoyable time. I really appreciate the questions. They've been some good questions, and it's given me an opportunity just to talk and just be free with myself. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I just, you know, I really like the way that you answered the questions. Everything you answered, you sounded very knowledgeable to me. So, because, you know, I don't know anything anyway, but you know, you can tell what somebody's going through, some anderas or they just really know what they're talking about. So thank you. Definitely appreciate it. We appreciate you and the time that you have spent with us. And you know, as you, well, we just keep you in prayer as well. We're going to keep you and your business in prayer. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Was there anything else you wanted to say?
No, ma'am. I'm all talked out.
Okay. Amen. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And please say hello to your wife for us. And,
yes,
you know, all is well with her. And I think you said something was going on with her mom. And this all,
oh, yeah.
All is
oh, that
well.
Was a flood and stuff. Well, oh, things are going well now. We cleaned up and stuff now.
Okay. Well, praise God. All right, then. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, we'll keep in touch. If I hear anybody who needs anything, I'm sending them to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I thank you. All right.
All right. Well, God bless you and have a blessed rest of the night, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
And
you too.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to keep you on. Amen. Well, I'm looking for our other speaker, and I don't quite see him yet, but we have some things that we can do while we're waiting on him to come on. So, yeah, I'm checking to make sure that he's not on, and he's not on, and that's cool. So what we can do right now is, you know, we always pray the prayer of salvation, and we'll tell you about what's going on the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcast, and then we'll see, you know, by then he should be here. So John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And I'm laughing in my spirit because I'm hearing people saying it with me. So thank you for saying it with me. Amen. And then with Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. So, hallelujah. I was just thinking of something. Pastor Eric, if you are listening online, we need you to call in. And the phone number is area code 516-418-5699. Amen. So if you're listening online, please call in. Area code 516-418-5699. Okay. And so, you know what we do here and at the East St. Louis Christian Center Church is that, you know, you pray, when you pray the prayer of salvation one time, you are saved. You are justified. Hallelujah. God will take you into sanctification, and you will surely be glorified. Hallelujah. And so so we want to pray the prayer of salvation. And like I said, the first time you pray it, you are saved. You are redeemed. Those who have prayed the prayer before, we encourage you to pray it, so that you can be ready to pray the prayer of salvation with someone else. And this past week, we prayed the prayer of salvation with two ladies at the same time. It was an awesome experience. We have been praying for them and just, you know, watering them in prayer and the word for years. and didn't even know that the two of them knew each other. And they were together this particular day, and we all prayed the prayer of salvation together. It was awesome. Hallelujah. So God wants us to just be ready at any time. Be ready to pray the prayer of salvation with someone. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your way. Follow you. And now I know I'm saved, I'm born again, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are saved, you are redeemed, you are born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you are a part of the kingdom of God. You are the bride of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And all of that will be explained as you learn more about who you are in Christ Jesus. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we just pray for them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for filling them to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with power, giving them power to live right, to walk right, hallelujah, to speak right, to even pray in their prayer language in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that right now, Lord, in Jesus' mighty and holy name, even power to read the Word of God and to understand it, to get your revelation on your word. Thank you for that, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And then we want to invite you to go to a Bible-believing church, hallelujah, where you can learn and grow in the things of God. The body of Christ is all over the place, especially in the United States, and we thank God for that. So you can go to a church and learn and grow in who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at the same time, we want to invite you to be a part of our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts so you can learn and grow as well with us. Amen. And so God has had us to put together he put it together, this Get 'Em Radio, God in the Midst family of broadcasts, and it's designed to help us to learn and grow more in him. So we meet every Sunday, the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. We meet in all of our family of broadcasts. You call in to it. Phone number is area code 516-418-5699. On Sundays, we have the East St. Louis Christian Center Church, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, where Pastor Mom is our senior pastor, and I'm the apostolic pastor, and my name is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. And so on this Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on this Sunday. I'm talking about the three parts of salvation: justification, sanctification, and glorification. Hallelujah. We've been on a series with this, and this is our grand series finale on this Sunday. So I'm looking forward to what God is going to do with all that. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and then on Tuesdays, we have our Bible teaching with Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and she's out of Ohio. She digs into the Word of God and teaches us how to dig into the Word of God every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, and we call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. On Tuesdays is our prayer time where we pray in tongues, and it is just so awesome as we pray and we sing in tongues. So we have those who volunteer to pray or sing in tongues for about 15 minutes at a time. And then when we finish, then we have interpretation of tongues. Glory to God. And I'll tell you something. This has been so awesome to me. 2 years ago, one of the interpretation of tongues is was that abortion is gone with the wind. And another interpretation was abortion, no more, no more, no more. 2 years ago, before Roe v. Wade was even being looked at with the Supreme Court. And so God was telling us his heart. Amen. Hallelujah. So meet us on Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. On Wednesday, the second Wednesday of every month, so clear your calendar and then mark your calendar. Set your cell phone alarm for Wednesday, September the 14th at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern is when we have our healing service. What God does is he lets us know the ailments that are going to be healed in advance. People call in and they are healed because what God reveals, he heals. Amen. And the last time we had it was in August earlier this month, the second Wednesday of the month, and there were 12 healings online. Amen. Our co-hosts are Elder Philip Harkey and his wife, Minister Linda Harkey. So please join us. Tell your family, your friends, anyone who's in need of a healing, they can get healed right online. Amen. September the 14th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then on Thursdays, we have our Thursday edition of God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio. Amen. And in September, we have Pastor Helen Price, who will be teaching spiritual warfare, teaching, preaching, sharing spiritual warfare. It'll be a spiritual warfare boot camp every Thursday in the month of September, 9 p.m. Central and 10 p.m. Eastern. Amen. Hallelujah. We're looking forward to that. And we believe that God is willing with that, amen, that we will hear from him through our pastor, Helen Price. Amen. So we're very excited about that. We believe that the spiritual warfare boot camp is right on time for a season such as this. Amen, amen. And the Lord has had her being even more well-steeped in spiritual warfare over the past year or so. So we're excited to have her on in the month of September. Amen. Okay. So now we have our other guest speaker who is going to be with us tonight. His name is Pastor Eric Ross. Hallelujah. And so we're going to open a line for him now. Now, what we're going to do first is, you know how we do, we talk about their experience with the Lord, salvation experience. So we're going to do that first. And then what he's going to do is he's going to share with us about a wonderful Christian evangelistic event that is going to be in St. Louis on September the 17th. Amen. So welcome, Pastor Eric.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing good, good. Good to have you here tonight, and I'll just tell you, you're right on time.
Okay,
amen.
Good.
So,
yeah,
we'll spend
I was listening on your spiritual warfare boot camp. I was appreciating that. So, looking forward to that. That's what we got going on, right? You know. So.
Yeah, it's right on time.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we're going to talk about your event, but first we want to talk about you. Amen.
Okay.
Tell us what's your favorite scripture.
Oh man, I always say it's hard because I love all of it. Isaiah is my favorite book, but I would have to say if I was to choose one that kind of helped me get across this burden that was in my life was John 3:17. You know, it's funny because everyone focuses on John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the one after it was the one the Lord really used for me. It says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through his son. And I just, you know, the way that I was raised, maybe it was just my wrong perception of how I was perceiving God and perceiving the way that other people were teaching me about God. And it was like I just felt condemned. You know what I mean? Like I didn't understand grace. I always felt like if I made a mistake, it was like, oh well, I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. I might as well just continue down this path. I didn't understand that I could slip up and a righteous man falls seven times but gets back up again. You know, I just would fall down and think that I was cursed. You know, so when I read that scripture, when God opened my mind to understand that the ministry of condemnation is, you know, I mean, that's not what he's about. You know what I'm saying? Even though that is part of it, it's a byproduct, but he's come to give us life and life abundantly, you know. So. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I did not say how we met each other. I usually say that. We met each other maybe yesterday or day before yesterday through evangelist Janie Sims. And I think you guys remember her. She's that fiery preacher that comes on. We've had her on several times. And so she contacted me and told me about the event that's going on September the 17th. And so, you know, the Lord led, because I knew tonight was going to be a short night with Brother Larry. And so the Lord just laid on my heart, this is a perfect time to talk about September, you know, before we get there and have Pastor Eric on. The next several weeks, we won't have him on all the time. But we have a nice promo to remind everybody about the event. And so we'll be doing that then. So, but tonight, you know, for a little bit longer, we're going to talk to him. Now, tell us about your salvation experience when you got saved.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a long, it's a longer story because I kind of turned radically to the Lord. But then, so just for example, I got baptized, water baptized at Grace Church in 2004. I was 22 years old, but I was raised in church. I was raised Assembly of God. My mom was the Sunday school teacher. So I was raised in church my whole life, but I got radically saved in 2004. I had an experience with the Lord, and well, I had actually come into some circumstances where I'd gotten in some trouble. I got 3 DWIs. I was messing around with cocaine and different things of that nature. Hanging out with I was hanging out with gangsters. They were running around selling drugs and I was just hanging out with a really wild crowd. I almost got to a point where my heart was, my conscience was almost seared, I would say. You know, I remember one time my mom said something to me about the Lord, and I remember kind of scoffing at that and completely blind for a moment. Just had hardened my heart over a series of, you know, justifications and justifying things. It's like, I remember slowly but surely growing up, it was like, oh, you know, I wanted to be popular. So I started hanging out and wanting to be, you know, drinking and doing drugs. And then I'd be doing those things and I'd be like, oh, well, I'm still a virgin. So I justified, you know, doing these other things because I was a virgin, and that was like still kept me righteous. And then once I lost my virginity, it was like I just went downhill. You know what I'm saying? And so I found myself in this position where I had gotten all these DWIs, but really what kind of broke me was I had this girl that I had fallen in love with, and we broke up. And then I realized at that point, like, oh my gosh, you know, like, I didn't know I could be hurt like this. You know, my pride was marred. And I got to a point where I really cried out to the Lord with my whole heart after experiencing this brokenness. And even though that it was that brokenness that is what it took, it, you know, 3 DWIs and all the other things wasn't really enough. You know what I mean? It was this this other kind of brokenness on another level that I felt. So I cried out to the Lord, and I remember the first time I cried out. So I was 22, been raised in church my whole life, but the first time I really I prayed and I cried out to the Lord, just like, what have I done? How could I be this person? I was pretending to be somebody that I really wasn't even me, so that I could be cool, you know, and do these other things and just to be popular. And I kind of, you know, like in Hosea, it says, oh, Israel, you have destroyed yourself, but in me is your help found. And I kind of felt that way, like I've destroyed myself. How did I let this happen? But I cried out to the Lord so for the first time. And I heard in my mind, when I was praying, I heard in my mind 1 Peter. And I had a Bible that was in my bedroom of this apartment that I was renting. And it was still in cellophane. I remember my uncle had given it to me. I didn't even ever open it, but I had it in this bedroom on the dresser, and it was covered in cellophane. There was even like cocaine dust on it, you know? And so I went and grabbed the Bible, and I didn't even know that 1 Peter was in the Bible, to be honest. Because when I heard 1 Peter, I had to go to the front of the Bible to find out where 1 Peter was. But I knew I had to read 1 Peter, and I went to 1 Peter, and when I started to read it, just tears were falling onto the pages, you know. And it says, you know, it talks about salvation. It talks about, you know, Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope and through the resurrection. But just as I was reading it, just that first chapter, the first whatever, tears just, I was weeping, and tears were falling to the pages. And then, right after that, I got a little, and then I had an experience right after that where I went to I had gotten those 3 DWIs, so I had to go to some counseling. And I was in this counseling session, and I was still like messing around with the world a little bit. You know what I mean? I just had that experience, but I was coming out of it. But I went to this counseling thing, and this counselor asked the people in the group, like, hey, when you pray, who do you pray to? And everybody was in the room, you know, saying whatever. But this one guy, this guy Mike, I'll never forget this. He said, well, I don't know who to pray to. But when he said that, my heart started burning in my chest like I never experienced before. And I knew that I had to talk to this guy. And so I followed him out. And just sharing of the mercy of God. So I followed him out, and I'm like talking to this guy. And next thing I know, I am like prophesying to this guy. I'm talking about the necessity of the bloodshed of goats and calves and things that I never even don't know where they came from. You know what I mean? Like, I'm telling this guy about Jesus, and like I tell him all this stuff. And later on, I realize I almost quoted Hebrews verbatim in some areas. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm telling this guy all this stuff that I've never even really, maybe, you know, it was through the Spirit. So I'm telling this guy all this stuff. And then he looks at me, and he's like, almost like the book of Acts. He's like, what should I do? And I'm like, you know, I just got saved within the week. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, go get a Bible and find a church, you know, and I get in my truck and I go to back up. And then I thought to myself, I said, oh man, I hope he doesn't get a King James Bible. So then I pull up next to his car to tell him, hey, don't make sure you don't get a King James Bible, because that might be confusing. And when I pulled up next to him, he was in his car and he was weeping. And he said, man, I don't know what just happened, but that meant everything to me. And I'm like, I don't know what just happened either. You know what I mean? So that was my experience of salvation. And I share that part because I got baptized in 2004. That was right around that time. I ended up going to prison in 2014, 10 years later. So I got overzealous for the Lord. I had, from that point forward, I started studying the Word. I was reading the Bible. I took a Nazirite vow. I didn't shave or cut my hair for almost 6 years. I grew it out. I had a vow, and I'd be like, you know, it's better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. And so I had all these, you know, I knew the Word, and I was studying the Scripture day and night. And I almost went to ministry school, but then the Lord kept me because I had a painting business. And so I just studied the Word, and I separated myself from everything and devoted myself to the study of Scripture. But then I got a little twisted, and I started twisting the Scripture a little bit here and there to, like, it's my pride and my heart and my fleshly desires. I was wanting God to do something for me. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, well, if God's never turned anybody down, if you ask, you know, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart, you know? And so I had twisted Scripture, and I didn't have a correct understanding. And so I was holding on to some things from my past and hoping for God to, you know, bring some restoration to some things, you know, maybe that old relationship and with that girl and twisted some different things. And then I eventually just studied the Bible so much and knowledge puffs up. I started getting puffed up with the knowledge of Scripture. And then I started to judge churches. And I found myself unable to even go to churches anymore because I was like, oh, they're not doing this right. They're not doing this right. And I was just judging everyone, you know. So God, you know, Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged, you know. And so I brought myself into a position where I needed to be humbled. And God, in his mercy, allowed me to fall off. I ended up shaving that beard off. After like 7 years of studying the Word and Scripture, I shaved that beard off, and I ended up getting involved with the same guys that I had been involved with a long time ago. I went the opposite direction. It wasn't like I turned away from the Lord. I started justifying things again. And then I went from like the extreme of trying to like keep the law with that Nazirite vow to this opposite extreme of saying, oh, all things are permissible to me. You know, all things created are good, and to be accepted and received with thanksgiving. It's not what goes into the mouth that makes a man unclean. It's what comes out of the mouth. You know, I started quoting all these other scriptures that were, you know, I had a girlfriend. She was my concubine. I was just foolishness that I would just justify all these other things that I was doing. And eventually I started smoking a little bit of marijuana, and then I started selling marijuana. And then I was a little bit older and more mature and more business-minded. So I was like, well, I would prefer not to sell marijuana. Obviously, cocaine is more lucrative, and I knew this guy from California, and I knew guys in St. Louis that could distribute. So I had this opportunity where I started talking to this guy from California about, hey, can you get cocaine? And next thing I know, I was getting kilos of cocaine. I mean, it's pretty, it doesn't really make sense, but it happened that way. It was pretty expedient. The Lord doesn't mess around with me. He makes sure I get in trouble quick. You know what I mean? So he makes sure that I get back on track pretty quick. I don't get to stay out and sin too long, you know? Go ahead.
Prayers that we have. One of the prayers that we have is, Lord, give them a short leash and a high bottom.
Right, so right,
that's
right.
The Lord is giving a short leash and a high bottom.
Yeah, yeah. He's so merciful. And I, you know, and and he was pursuing me. And even though it was like I was justifying my sin and like even praying over the kilos, like I had these crazy ideas in my mind that God had blessed me with this opportunity so that I could get rich and get out of debt. And this was just a short, you know, this was just an opportunity to get rich and get out of debt and bless my friends with the money. Like I was so deceived. It was insane. But anyway, so that happened, and the Lord in his mercy, it's funny. I slowly but surely, even though I knew I was wrong, even though I was justifying that I was wrong, you know what I mean? Like in my heart of hearts, I still knew that I was wrong. And even from that moment of like the day that I turned and prophesied to that guy, like there was something that changed in me at that point that never went back. Even though I fell into sin again, I wasn't the guy that I was before that moment. You know what I mean? I was still trying to say like, oh, well, grace, you know, well, as long as I continue to walk in love, I was still trying to walk in love to people, but I was really nice and kind and I wasn't able to do the things that were really needed to be done for me to prosper as a drug dealer because I was too kind. You know what I'm saying? So, but, all that being said, I'm not trying to make any excuses, but I didn't fall back, you know what I mean? So I just was deceived, so deceived. And so I ended up realizing this, and I'm struggling. I remember wrestling, there was spirits like tormenting me. And I remember being in this room of this place that I was living in and selling drugs out of. And I remember spirit, like I physically feeling a spirit hit me in my back, and like I'm laying there and I'm like praying, get out of here in Jesus' name. And I like remember feeling like they were just laughing at me, like, you have no authority. Like, who, like, what are you doing? How are you going to cast us out of this room? You're a cocaine drug dealer. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I was just, and I felt like a physical hit on my back. And anyways, but I was praying and I felt so paranoid. This one night I had 3 kilos coming the next day and I was like so paranoid. And the next morning I woke up because I still used to pray when I took a shower, even though I don't even know what I was praying. Lord, like I was praying, Lord, what am I doing? How did I get here? You know what I mean? And I remember praying that morning and I just prayed, Lord, whatever it takes, make me change my life. And literally 6 hours later, I was getting arrested. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, Lord, out of all the prayers, this is the one you chose to answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, but I was getting arrested. And it was an extreme, you know, it was a situation where I had left. Those kilos were coming. You know, I was on my way there. I saw the house surrounded. I kept driving. Obviously, I didn't go there. But I ended up going back. The Lord led me to not run, to go surrender. So when I did, and then I realized I was facing time, you know, in prison. I didn't really ever think about it, the severity of kilos of cocaine and federal indictment. I never really considered that too much. I wasn't thinking that far ahead, but so I found myself, and at first they were, you know, telling me I was facing 7 years. And then as they were trying to get me to cooperate with them, they amplified the time to like 10 to 15 years. But I never cooperated with them because, you know, I felt like, and I still even quote scripture for this. You know, I was like, greater love has no man than this. He lays down his life for his friends. Like I was single. Other people in my life, you know, that were involved had kids and families. And I was like, well, at the end of the day, I probably should be the one to go to prison anyway, you know? So I wasn't going to tell on other people. And plus it's part of just accepting responsibility for what I did. No one forced me to do what I did. I'm not going to tell on everybody so I can get less time when no one forced me to do what I did. So I accepted it. And I remember the Lord gave me the scripture out of Proverbs. A man's judgment is from the Lord. And I just knew no matter what they were saying at the end of the day, whatever verdict came, it would be from him. So, and I trusted him with that. And I ended up with a 5-year prison sentence, even though there was times when that seemed really bleak. So I ended up with a 5-year prison sentence and I, I started serving that in 2014, and I was there for 3 years. And while I was in prison, that was when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, Go ahead.
No, I said good lead in because that was my next question about you being filled with the.
So that's when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit because the Lord had to teach me no confidence in the flesh. And the path that I had to take to learn that that doesn't make much sense to most people, but it left me in a position where I know, you know what I mean? I know in me and my flesh dwells no good thing. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is by grace you are saved through faith and that not of yourselves is the gift of God. You know, like I know because I was in that position. I was in prison. I knew all the scriptures too, right? I knew as a dog returns to its vomit, you know, as a sow returns to its wallowing mire, it's better not to have known the truth than to know the truth and turn away. You know, if they crucify the Son of God afresh, you know, I knew all the scriptures, you know, and I'm like, man, I had this Nazarite vow. I was telling people that I was a big deal. You know what I mean? I thought I was going to be like the next John the Baptist. You know what I'm saying? Like and then I ended up selling cocaine. Like you could not have convinced me that God was going to forgive me. I was trying to accept in prison that I was cursed and I was going to hell. And this is just my lot in life, you know? And God in that moment just convinced me that he loved me and that he cared for me. And that as far as the East is from the West, so far as you know what I mean? And just brought me out of that place and convinced me that he loved me. And it was like, I never really understood God's love until I experienced it like I did in prison, like where I didn't have any hope, you know? And even though I had been hopeless before, I still had a lot of flesh in me. You know, I didn't realize how prideful, I didn't realize how much sanctification work had to happen. You know, I still had a lot of self-confidence. I still had a lot of self things going on in myself, but God took me down this wild path to empty me of myself. And it's just amazing. So, but his mercy is new every morning and great is his faithfulness. Yeah. And that's all I know.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes.
So,
yes. Yes.
Amen. So, but now I'm married, have two kids, and God is amazing. So I'm on another path. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. It's crazy to even tell that story right now. It blows my mind that I did those things. You know what I mean? Like I can't even fathom how that happened, but it did. And I know that without Christ, it could happen again. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. Amen. So.
And well, thank you so much for sharing. And I couldn't help but think about the series that I've been preaching on salvation, that the three parts is justification, that we're delivered from the penalty of sin. Mm-hmm. And amen. And then we go into a process called sanctification, where we are delivered and being delivered from the power of sin. And so as you were going through all of that and still going through, which we are all still going through, that mm-hmm. sanctification process, amen, we get transformed into his likeness as we're here on earth, and things begin to change, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. So the things that you did back in 2004, you don't do anymore. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's not a part of your character and your nature. And I just love how God just cleans us up in such a wonderful way that when we look at ourselves, we can't even fathom that we did the stuff that we did, because he's cleaned us up so good. Amen. And then, you know, after we'll stay in this sanctification until we leave here. and mm-hmm. meet him in the air and yeah. go into our glorification time. So when I hear even how, you know, you kind of went back this way, went that way, what it looks like to me is that the Lord was ordering your footsteps and narrowing the path that you were on, you know, and he narrowed it and narrowed it so that you could be on his path of righteousness for his name's sake. I mean, you know, cutting off things out of your character and your nature, and then, you know, bringing his word real and alive in your life. And yes. I can say that because he did it, and he's doing it to me too. Amen.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. And now we're going to go ahead and get to the event that's
okay.
going on September the 17th.
Yes.
Tell us about that event and how it came to be.
Well, the event's called Wake Up STL, and it's under Operation STL Presents, and that's kind of how this whole idea got birthed. Was Operation STL. I was in my room, and I was in prayer. I don't remember exactly, but I remember being in prayer or fasting at that time, and just all of a sudden that word came into my spirit, Operation STL, and I was like, all right, I wrote it down on my dry erase board, Operation STL, you know, and then I was like, Operation Save the Lou. At first, actually, it was Operation Save the Lost, and I had this vision in my mind where I was trying to bring churches together on a large scale to do evangelism outreach. And I used to work for this place called Thomas Construction, and we would canvas subdivisions and go door to door, but we would track all the streets that we had visited. And I was thinking about, what if all these churches got together and we had teams and we actually tracked and made sure that we visited every house in St. Louis with the gospel, you know what I mean? And said, okay, we did it. You know what I mean? Like, the blood is clear from our hands. We can say we literally went to every single person's house. You know what I'm saying? And so that's how this Wake Up STL kind of got started. But that was 4 years ago, right, that happened. And honestly, it was such a big idea, and there was so much – it's so complex. It's so many different moving parts that it was like – I don't know. You ever had something to do that's so big that you just don't do anything at all? You know, it was like it was so big that I couldn't really do anything. And every time I would try to do something and get something stirred up, it was like I couldn't get any traction. And then it was like I was waiting on the Lord to, you know, make everything right. Like, okay, well, I obviously need this many people to help me. I obviously need this much money. It was really mostly I was thinking about, okay, Lord, whenever you help me get the money together to do this, obviously I'll make it happen. And with about a few months, probably about 3 months ago now, about 3 months ago now, I was at our church, First Love Church, and somebody came there and shared their testimony, and it was powerful. And it kind of, and hearing this person's testimony, he had been in prison and came out of prison, and he was kind of like I was when I first came home from prison. He was fired up, you know what I mean? And I still... But, you know, it kind of you stay fired up, but you kind of get hurt by the world sometimes because people don't really appreciate the fire sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm all fired up. I'm like, I can't get anybody else fired up, you know. So, but he was fired up, and it got me fired up again. And then I realized, you know what? Here I am waiting for all these things to be perfect to do this event that you've told me to do, Lord. And I'm sorry because you're actually asking me to do this in faith. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you have to walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes you're going to have to walk out and do something, and it's not just going to look perfect. It's not going to look the way that it needs to look, and it's not going to, you know, things aren't going to line up, and you know, everything's not going to line up the way that you're expecting. Sometimes you're going to have to walk out on the water in a storm, and it's going to look bad. You know what I'm saying? So I just started walking out, and I said, you know what? And the Lord brought some people, and I said, okay, Lord, it's time. I just knew it was time. You know what I mean? I knew it was time to move, and I can't wait any longer, you know, and then I'm just expecting the Lord to meet me there, and oh my gosh, man, it's crazy how it's come together. Like it's weird to, I mean, I've experienced God fulfilling things for me in the past, like even prophetic things, you know, and I've experienced that. But when you're in that moment where you're walking by faith and God is making the way, like as you go, it's just a kind of surreal thing. You know, it's funny because I even preach, you know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or imagine. And I tell people that, but sometimes I don't even know if I believe that, you know, because why would I be surprised when God starts doing great things? You know, if I'm saying that he's going to do above and beyond anything I can ask or imagine. And then when he does that, I'm like, oh, wow, I can't believe he did that. Well, that's what you preached that he was going to do. You know what I mean? So I just say that to you know, explain where I'm at right now with just watching this and seeing churches come together. So we're doing an outreach. Sorry. So it's an outreach. So what we're doing is trying to focus on hitting, you know, targeting areas and say, look, like when you're talking about warfare, right? I was thinking in my mind, I've been thinking about, okay, St. Louis is a stronghold for lawlessness and murder and there's different things, but lawlessness and murder were two things that like, I'm like, okay, we need to attack. You know, we can't just always be on the defense. Sometimes we got to get on the offense. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, how can we get on the offense? You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and I actually had like a vision kind of in my mind or whatever. I was daydreaming, whatever it was, but I was there was young black men and I was crying and weeping and pleading with them just like, hey, your life is leading to either prison or death, you know, and even worse, hell, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I was pleading with them. So, and then I just really felt led to go to O'Fallon Park and in faith, because at the time they didn't even have an alderman. They were telling me that they wouldn't even let us do an event there. But I'm like, you know, this is where the Lord's telling us to go. So it has to work out. Right. And so it has. And so we're just going there, and it's not about white or black or any of that thing. We're just going out there to save souls. And I'm just sharing where my heart was at the time when the Lord was leading me to this, you know what I mean? But, because you know, it's, we can't make it a race thing. There's plenty of too many people making it about that, but it's just, this is where we're going in the community. This is a need in St. Louis. There's, you know, the murder rate is so high. So we have to start, you know, coming against it where it's happening. You know what I mean? Like in those communities, we need to bring the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, you know, and faith comes by hearing, you know, so we got to get out there and preach the gospel and hope that they hear, you know? And so part of what this Wake Up SDL, you know, how it evolved and became like a hip hop concert with the raffles and the prizes and those things was the Lord was showing me, I've made you fishers of men, but you don't, when you go fishing, you don't just go and throw the hook in the water, you know, you got to bait that thing, you know? And, you know, when you use bait, you use different bait for different fish. And so the Lord was showing me, like, just bait the hook, you know, the raffle prizes, the hip hop music, you know, it's Christian hip hop. It's not, you know, whatever. And it's local St. Louis artists. And actually I really love their music. Cause that's the kind of music that I listen to anyways, but so we're doing this hip hop concert with the raffle prizes, and there's $5,000 in raffle prizes. Which is a lot of money, but it's to draw more people, and we need to have more drawings throughout the event to keep people engaged, to keep them listening, and even if they're there just hoping they win something, we're just hoping they really win something, right? You know what I mean? Like, so they win to get to hear about Jesus, and you know, so at the end of the day, that's how that came to be, and at first I was going to call it Ain't Nothing Cool About Murder or something along those lines. But when I met with one of the when I was scouting out the musician, I was talking to him, and the Holy Spirit just fell on both of us. And, like, it just fell on both of us, and he was like, oh, man, you feel that? I'm like, yeah, I feel it, man. He's like, man, St. Louis needs to wake up. And I was like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, yes, St. Louis needs to wake up. So that's how it became Wake Up STL. So I don't know if I just went, who knows, I probably said way more than I needed to say. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So, I knew you needed more than 5 minutes, okay? So that's good. So it's going to be Wake Up St. Louis is going to be on Saturday, 12 mm-hmm. noon until 4 p.m. And the concert starts at 12 p.m. And so the artists that you have coming are Mana Music, The Word, and Link Boys, and more. So these are the Christian hip-hop. And they're local? Okay.
Yes.
That is good.
Yes. And in between, I was going to say also, sorry, but in between musical sets, so they're going to do a music set of 15 minutes, and then there's going to be somebody sharing a testimony 20 minutes. So there's going to be music, and then I have people come in to share testimony. Well, the guy that I saw at my church sharing his testimony, he's sharing. And then there's other people who come in and out of prison, and we're going to have women share who have lost children. There's one woman who lost a child to gun violence, and another woman who's lost four family members to a drug overdose. So we're just going to share and just try to bring awareness to open people's minds to how their actions affect the community and, you know, and really how it affects God. You know what I mean? Like the sin's not affecting God, but it affects ourselves. We bring judgment on ourselves when we just continue to live in these things, you know? So, but anyway.
Okay. Amen. So this sounds good. It looks like it's getting better and better. On the flyer, it says 4,000 in prizes, but now you've gone up to 5,000. Praise the Lord.
Well, it says there's $1,000 grand prize and then $4,000 in other prizes. It's still a total of 5,000. Yeah. So.
Okay. Amen. And a food giveaway. How's that going to look with the food giveaway?
Well, there's going to be free barbecue there, but there's also going to be like some food pantry set up. We have a couple places. There's I've been inviting, House of Zadok is going to be there. Grace Church is going to be there. They have a food pantry. So there's going to be food pantry there with fuel packs and stuff to give away. There's going to be some people there with backpacks to give away. There's going to be bounce houses there. There's going to be a raffle for kids separately. I was trying to get some face painters there for the kids, but I haven't been able to work that out yet. I probably waited too long on that. But it's going to be a fun day. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be some serious fun though. You know, we're going to have fun, but it's going to be serious. You know what I'm saying? So.
Amen. Okay, what about the comic relief? Tell us about that.
Well, the original coordinator, I had already printed all the stuff off, but a lot of the guys that are sharing are pretty funny as well. So I was trying to bring in a Christian comedian, and that kind of fell through, but it was after everything already had gotten put into motion. But there's still going to be some comedic relief because everybody's stories are pretty funny. And I'm going to be hosting the event, so I'll make sure some people laugh at me or something, you know. I was hoping to have a Christian comedian come because my uncle is friends with Tim Hawkins, but it just didn't work out. And the other guy that I was trying to reach out to didn't work out. But But that's probably not the direction we want to go anyway. So.
Okay. Well, I've had a Christian comedian on the broadcast before.
Oh, yeah?
And so I can put you in touch with him.
Yeah, that'd be
and
awesome.
I don't know if he's available to come. I don't think he lives in St. Louis, but his mom lives here. And
okay.
He comes here and does comedy every now and then. So
okay.
I'll get you his information. Okay, what about storytelling?
That's the people telling their stories. That's the testimony.
That's the testimony.
You know, the one guy. You know, if you look on the website, OperationSaveTheLou.com. That's OperationSaveTheLou.com. That has all the people who are sharing their stories. Well, actually, except for the women that are sharing, because they haven't sent me pictures or whatever. Plus, they're going to be like the women that are sharing like 5 to 10 minutes of just testimony. It's hard for some people to share about losses, you know, but I'm just thankful that we have some people that are sharing about their losses that they've experienced. But the main guys are that Stanley Prince and James Borders and Earl Grissom. They've all come out of, you know, gang lifestyle and come in and out of prison. James Borders, I met him in prison when I was in Leavenworth. He started out his prison sentence with a life sentence, and then God had mercy on him, and he got out 17 years later. He still had to be in there for 17 years, but when he started his prison sentence, he wasn't supposed to go home. You know, so he has a good story and they're all Christ-centered. You know, it's not, I don't have people just coming to share a good story and then not lead you to Jesus, because that's pointless, you know, but, so powerful stories, to share with people, to give them hope, you know, that there's hope. There is always hope as long as you're alive, you know, so.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on. We're going to open the lines for a few moments here. And if anyone wants to say anything, you have any comments, any questions, encourage the man of God here. Press your number one key, and we'll open up the line. Looking at my text, and I got something from Reverend Treva in California, and she said both guests were wonderful. Thank you, Reverend Treva. Amen. Pastor Natalie, so good to see you here tonight from New Jersey. I'm going to open up your line. Welcome, Pastor Natalie. Wait, did I get my numbers wrong? Area code 908. Your line is open.
Sorry, I was muted on my own end.
Okay. I thought that was your number.
No, it is.
Okay, welcome, Pastor.
Well, welcome. Thank you. I was just listening to, I got to listen to part of the testimony while I was preparing a meal, and wow, that is so powerful. That's such a powerful testimony, and it just made me really think how important it is to be real with God, you know, and not play church and pretend, you know. And I think sometimes that happens, you know. We start watching things or doing things, and little by little, it's like a slow dance. And you don't even realize that you're lost. And, you know, and like, it just made me think about when my dad was dying, and I got to a point where I really started to question my faith, you know, and it also made me think about how God, I spent 5 hours with God and he got me through it, because I had never experienced depression like that, you know. You're right. When you have a loss, it's devastating, especially, and then when I was just starting to feel better, I lost my mom, you know, and that's only been 2 years. So loss is rough. And I can't believe you went to jail, and and all that you went through, and here you are so powerful for God. Like, you really ministered to me tonight. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank Amen. You. And I have a question for you, Pastor Natalie.
Okay.
You're not usually on our broadcast. I mean, we meet on other broadcasts or conference calls, but
uh-huh.
Did the Lord just lead you to call in tonight, or what? How'd that happen?
Oh, a friend of mine told me about this, and then I just decided, hey, I can listen to this. I'm cooking right now. I got time, so I thought, why not?
Oh,
did I do the
okay.
wrong thing? I'd have chimed in.
You did the right thing. You did the perfect thing. You're right on
okay.
time. Thank you.
Oh, great. Okay.
I think she was just highlighting that it was no coincidence that you're on the call tonight. You know, so God's sovereignty led you to this conversation to be encouraged. So be encouraged. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say that again.
Really,
kind of broke.
I said, I just like to always make sure I'm doing the right thing. That's like real important to me.
Yeah. No, you can't go wrong when you're trying to be open and honest and transparent and share what God's put in your heart. I don't, you know, so that's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. I love the way you were saying how you knew in your heart that it was the wrong thing to do, and yet you still were, like when you're saying you were praying over the cocaine, that was so funny. That does make
yeah.
me laugh.
so foolish. Yeah. Yeah. I was telling a guy that on another podcast one time, and he was like, yeah, you and God were kind of partnering in this thing, like the cocaine thing. Well, what's interesting is you'd be surprised that there's a lot of those guys that I was messing with. They really believe that God is blessing them in that. And well, not, I wouldn't say blessing. Maybe just that is their only option. They believe that God understands that this is what they have to do. So I understand that mentality, because I kind of got sucked into it, because a lot of people believe that lie from the enemy. And that, you know, this is my only option, but that is not the truth. You know, actually what's interesting is when I was facing my time at first, I was like 7 years for some cocaine, like big deal. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. But then the Lord, he showed me, like, if I enabled one person, just imagine if I enabled one young man to get cocaine and he became a crackhead for the rest of his life. And then maybe he went and robbed somebody and killed somebody for cocaine, that the Lord showed me he was going to hold me accountable for that. And, you know, and so it just totally shifted my perspective to be like, okay. Cause we, you know, I used to say, well, if they don't get it, if they'll get it from somewhere, well, they don't have to get it from me. You know what I mean? That's what I tell people.
Yeah.
Now. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be from me. You know what I mean? And it doesn't need to be from you either, because then I tell people now when I'm on the streets ministering, and if I see a drug dealer, I tell them.
Uh-huh.
The other day I saw this guy, and he's like, how do you know I sold drugs? I was like, you're the only guy out here with Rock Revival jeans on, bro. You know, like and I told him, I said, and all these people out here that you see, all these people out here nodding out, homeless, don't have any teeth. I said, you're responsible for that, because you're bringing them the drugs, you know? And he told me, thank you. But I couldn't believe the Holy Spirit came on me. I was so bold talking to that guy, but you know, it's the truth, you know? And
no, that's awesome. I'm so proud of you. That's awesome. That inspires
me. Oh man. Don't be proud of me. I rebelled. be proud of Jesus for his infinite mercy and grace, you know?
I'm proud of you for being obedient, for doing what God's telling you to do. That's what I mean. Like, I mean, a lot of things that I'm very ashamed of that I don't talk about often. And I deserve help. I do.
Yeah.
And
I
share it when God leads me, because there were times I shared it and I got severely judged and it really hurt my walk. So now I'm much more careful, and I make sure it's God and not me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
because who are you to judge me? You know what I'm saying? Who are you?
Yeah. You know?
So anyway, so, you know, that you did, that you were obedient. Obedience brings joy. And that's what I'm proud of, that you were obedient and that you didn't worry about your life. You didn't worry about anything. You just worried about telling them the truth. And that's awesome.
Amen.
All right. Well, God bless you, Pastor Natalie. Good to hear your voice at night.
And it's so, it was good so to hear your voice
in the morning.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless. Have a blessed
night. God bless
Thank you, Natalie.
Amen. Minister Rachel, anyone else? Press your number one key. We're going to start ending pretty soon, so don't hesitate. Press your number one key.
All right. Hi, God Mom again. And hi, Pastor Eric. God bless you for sharing your testimony, and I hope it was loud enough for my older sons to hear. But also one of my sons, he reads John, and my 15-year-old, I believe those scriptures are his favorite, John 3:16 and probably 17. I also try to tell, but I think it's John 3:16, but I also try to tell my kids that by grace we are saved, and we can also repent if we had messed up, because it's the finished work of the cross that made us, you know, righteous, God's righteousness. And it's important that us as parents to tell our kids that, because, yeah, we mess up and God forgave us and he helps us with his Holy Spirit to, that's power to live right. And I just, you know, try to be a better, like, God helps me to be a blessed example before them, because whatever I do will affect my family. And he brought me through a lot and a lot of devastating things and some devastating things that I'm still in right now, but his grace is covering me and my family. Some things are not my fault and some things are just for his glory. So God bless you.
Amen.
And your family.
Thank you.
God keep you strong.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I really didn't understand, but that I'm so thankful for now, was this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing forward to what lies ahead. You know, it doesn't matter if it was 1 second ago. Forget that. You know what I mean? Like, I love that Paul was so powerful, because he really lived that out, and he really just continued to forgive.
To forgive myself and to forgive my family and to just move on and know that God is, he washed my path and he's ordering my steps and let not any iniquity have dominion over me, and just helping me each step, moment by moment, step by step. And we don't have to beat ourselves up. And I thank God for scripture. There's for now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And so that's what I need to stand on and keep on going for his glory and just never give up, because he doesn't give up on me. He went all the way to the cross. He endured everything, every breath, everything. He endured it all, what they did to him. And when he got to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he just, his grace, his arms open wide, and his love for all of us, just that comforting love. And that's what keeps me standing. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's what's going to see me through the end into a prosperous beginning in Christ Jesus. All right. You stay encouraged, you and your family, and may God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm looking at the time here. Well, Pastor Catherine, I know you're with Pastor Mom. She's probably good and asleep by now. If you wanted to say anything, press your number one key. Otherwise, we're going to get ready to close. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So, amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Eric. for explaining to us. And like I said before, what we're going to do is you have a 30-second promo, and so we're going to be playing that on our other broadcast to help people know about Wake Up STL. Now, you had given the website. Is there any other information that you'd like to give to us about that? Find out some more information on your website, your Facebook, or any kind of, internet presence that you have out there that we can point the people to.
Yeah, actually, as of right now, it's just the web page. I have somebody building a Facebook page because I'm kind of behind on the times. I don't really use Facebook, and honestly, people have been speaking into my life more that it's a good tool to use. So I'm open to it now, and I actually have a guy working on it, but I don't have that finished yet. But Operation Save the Lose is pretty much the main thing there, and there's places for people. If people want, hey, if you want to come in town and see this event and volunteer, we need your help. You know what I mean? We need volunteers. Mm-hmm. Just come hang out, you know, and we got opportunities for people to set up booths there. And, you know, there's registration for people if they want to come set up a booth, if they got a ministry or any, you know, something to help the people. Or there's a button on there to donate. You know, we've raised about 30% of the money. Hoping to raise more. Either way, I know the Lord is good and faithful, and we're going to take care of it. But, you know, I was trying to give people opportunity to partner with us. So it's coming together, and I'm just grateful. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to share. And sorry if I took too long to explain things. So.
Well, it's good. It's all good. We're flowing in God's timing. Do you have a Cash App?
Well, it's online. It's just like okay. The donations online is like a PayPal account on there. So, yeah, it's PayPal on there, or they can mail a check. There's a place on there where they could mail a check to our church, but you know, it's payable to Operation STL. So, and we started the ministry. We just started a fictitious name, Operation STL, underneath International Outreach Ministries. So I still haven't had much time. It's really been only a few months, and I've hit the ground running. So I haven't really gotten everything perfected yet. But we got the PayPal okay. set up. I got the bank account set up, and checks
Hallelujah.
And PayPal are good. So
great, great. Amen. So as we get ready to go tonight, we want to pray for you. I'm going to ask this. Is there anyone that's led to pray for Pastor Eric tonight? Press your number one key quickly. Other than that, I will go ahead and pray for him. Amen. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for Pastor Eric, for even causing us to meet and for him to be on Get 'Em Radio tonight and sharing with us. Lord God, we thank you for strengthening him with might in the inner man by your Holy Spirit. You've given him so much to do in this short amount of time. And we thank you, Lord God, for sending all of the people that you ministry to help and to be a part of the ministry with him. We thank you for each and every person right now in the name of Jesus. And we say, Lord, send all the people who are to be a part of this ministry and however they're supposed to be a part of it, Lord God, whether through prayer, send all the intercessors that are needed, send those workers who will be there to be a part of this event on September the 17th. We thank you, Lord God, that you just send those who are to send financial gifts in to help with everything that's going on. We thank you, Lord God, for sending just the right people, just the right time. And thank you, as always, for doing exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or even imagine. Keep Pastor Eric strong and healthy, and all of his family members. Keep them strong and healthy as well, Lord God. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. And now, Lord God, we thank you for this broadcast tonight and who was a part of the broadcast in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that anything that we need to get done will be done in Jesus' name, that you redeem this time. Hallelujah. And then do great things with the time that is redeemed, the time that we have spent with you, Lord God. We thank you that we'll all have a good night's sleep and wake up refreshed in the morning, saying this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And once again, thank you, Pastor Eric. And God bless you all, and have a blessed rest of the night. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yes. Y'all tell the people them.